sailed. I have moved about this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
This is Bruce Kaplan welcoming you to Radio Masterpieces, where every week you'll hear the best of the radio from the past century, from the 1940s and 1950s, from 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock p.m. This is Bruce Kaplan, welcoming you back to another episode of Radio Masterpieces. Each week, we scour the archives looking for the best mysteries from the golden age of radio for the 1940s and 50s. Tonight will be no exception. And now, we're going to go into a little bit of comedy, and then we're going to give you two of the best mysteries of the golden age of radio. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Never fail, for I studied very hard, and furthermore, I polished up the apple for the professor.
He polished up the apple for the professor.
I polished up the apple so frequently that soon I had a Phi Beta Kappa key.
He soon had a Phi Beta Kappa key from polishing the apple very frequently.
On graduation day, I made a stop at a very exclusive clothing shop. I opened up a charge account and asked them for the best gray flannel in the clothing store.
The best gray flannel in the clothing store.
That suit was a part of a great intrigue, for it proved I was a member of the Ivy League.
It was part of a great intrigue,
for it proved he was a member of the Ivy League.
Then I got a crew cut and a sincere tie, and for my first job I did apply. A job in an advertising agency, sharpening the pencils of a big VP.
Oh, I honed a lot of pencils for a big VP.
I sharpened all the pencils so pointedly that now I am a partner in the agency.
He sharpened all the pencils so pointedly.
I kept my ears open and my big mouth shut, and I learned all the agency scuttlebutt. I learned who was going out with whom, and who had the keys to the powder room.
And who had the keys to the powder room?
For the key to the powder room, you see, is the key to the structure of the agency.
The keys to the powder room.
I worked real hard for the dear old firm. I learned most every advertising term. I said to the men in the dark gray suits, let's run it up the flagpole and see who salutes.
Let's run it up the flagpole and see who salutes.
I ran it up the flagpole perfectly, so now I am a partner in the agency.
He ran it up the flagpole perfectly, so now he is a partner in the agency.
Now I have a big office at the end of the hall with very fancy carpeting from wall to wall. I keep my mouth open and I keep my ears shut, and I've got a little palace in Connecticut.
And he's got a little palace in Connecticut.
So I thank old Yale, and I thank the Lord, and I also thank my father, who is chairman of the board.
And he's great.
Now the Whistler's strange story, The Eager Pigeon. It was neither the best side of town nor the best cocktail bar, but Danny Thorpe's pocketbook wasn't in a very choosy mood or condition. Danny's clothes suggested better things, and as on other occasions, he was counting on them to make things pick up. That was when he first saw her, or rather her reflection in the big mirror across the back of the bar. She was sitting alone, looking thoughtful and beautiful. She also looked out of place in these surroundings. Danny was curious and never wanted to stand on ceremony. He picked up his drink and went over.
Excuse me. Is she taken?
What? Oh. There seems to be plenty of room at the bar.
Oh, sure. But why trade reflections when the real thing's only a few feet away, hmm? Well, we can confine the conversation to the weather. Warm night, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Might even rain.
It might.
But that's not what you're worried about.
Worried?
Oh, it shows.
Does it? Really? Well, it's my brother. Do you come in here often?
Yeah, I come in here often.
Maybe you've seen my brother. He drinks too much.
That's bad, very bad.
He was wearing a check coat, tall, wavy hair.
The coat?
My brother. Well, that's something.
What's that?
First time I've laughed in a week.
Well, things are bad all over.
I wonder if... No, I guess not.
Try me.
No. You certainly aren't in need of money, a man who dresses...
Now, easy, lady. Don't mention that stuff and then run away. Money, you said?
Yes.
Oh, I'm always interested. Your brother really isn't it, is it?
No. It's nothing very much. I just need help, that's all. There's $50 for the right party.
Have Tux, will travel. Outline the job, sweetheart.
Are you serious?
If you are.
All right. But first I'll have to make a phone call. Excuse me a moment.
As she moves away, you look after her, telling yourself that it's the fastest deal you've ever managed. But suddenly you begin to wonder, don't you, Danny? Consider. Then you ask yourself if it might not be too easy. A moment later, you slip out from the booth you're sitting in, make your way quietly to a booth further back, and just outside the little hallway where she went to make a phone call. You sit down, lean back, and find that you can even hear the sound of the dialing. A pause, and then she gets her party. You crane your head to listen carefully.
Hello, Otto? Monica. It's all set, Otto. I found someone. Yes, in the bar. You'd better get ready. I'm bringing home a very eager pigeon.
You get up quickly, walk back to where she left, and sit down to wait. The picture has changed fast, hasn't it, Danny? And you had good reason to wonder about this girl. To use her words, she's bringing home an eager pigeon. You deliberate for a moment, almost decide to walk out, but you don't. You never do. Instead, you finish your drink, sit back and wait. But not for long, Danny.
Sorry to keep you waiting.
You said $50, didn't you?
$50.
Oh, I don't mind waiting.
You'll be pleased then. It's all set. It's all right.
What's all set? All right.
Well, I'd rather not talk here. We can go to my apartment.
Don't tell me it's right around the corner, not in this neighborhood.
Hardly. I have my car.
I have my hat.
Let's go.
You walk out with her, help her into a convertible car that matches the clothes. She smiles again and slings the car out into the traffic stream. You study her face as she watches ahead. A strange setup, isn't it, Dan? Interesting. And with what you already know about her, there might be considerably more than $50 in this evening for you. Yes, if you're careful, watchful, you might turn her plan, whatever it is, into something for yourself. You've handled fast deals before, haven't you? Yes, and you've always come out ahead. 20 minutes later, she turns into the garage of a smart apartment building. Together, you ride up in an automatic elevator. You decide that it's time to switch the balance of power.
What apartment?
502.
You, haven't told me your name, either.
Oh, sorry, it's...
Monica. Yeah, I heard.
You...
No, you don't. Give me that purse.
That's alone. Keep your hand...
Well, fancy finding a gun in your purse.
Is there anything wrong with a girl carrying something to defend herself?
No. There's nothing wrong with a boy doing the same thing, especially when it's your gun and I'm the boy who's got it. It's a big, bad, wicked city, sweetheart. Boys and girls can get hurt.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Here we are, fifth floor. After you, Monica. I'm interested in what you got in apartment 502. Very interested.
Well, Danny, you've walked into something, haven't you? From the cocktail bar to this fancy apartment. And as you follow Monica down the hall toward apartment 502, you keep watching her, waiting for her to break, to stop and tell you what it's all about. Why she picked you up and lied to you about some sort of innocent job she wanted done. Finally, when you're only a few feet away from the door of the apartment, you decide it's time to stop her. You touch her gently between the shoulder blades with a little revolver you took from her purse.
I'll hold it right here, baby. Conference time. Now, I want you to tell me who you talked to on the phone. Who's Otto?
Otto?
That's what you tagged him. I also heard you say you'd bring the pigeon right up.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Is Otto the boyfriend? The jealous husband? What is this, a shakedown?
No, nothing like that.
Don't let the clothes fool you. Look, lady, you could turn me upside down and not shake out a nickel.
Please get out of here. Let me alone.
Come on, move, honey. I'll follow. I'm just busting to meet Otto. I may even bust Otto. All right, open up.
But...
Go on inside and then call him. No warning, understand? After you, sweetheart. Come on, call the guy.
Otto? Otto?
Yeah, we're right there. I'm wondering what you've been doing. What's this?
It's a gun, Otto, and it wants some fast answers.
Well, who is he, Monica?
I'm the pigeon, Otto, but Squab's out of season for you.
Look, you better get out of here. This is all a mistake.
No, it's a mistake, all right. But I like mistakes when other people make them. Now, come on, move over to the wall. I want to have a look in that room.
What?
Move, Otto. Come on, move. Well, how do you like that? No body.
Body?
Oh, yeah. This is a real switch. Figured to be a body in there. Okay, you'll have to brief me. What's it all about? All right. So I got all evening. I'll wait.
It presents an almost humorous picture, doesn't it, Danny? The two of them standing there. Otto's eyes blinking. Monica's snapping angrily. And then you notice something else. Otto. He's looking at his watch. Otto is nervous. For some reason, which you're certain he's about to tell you, Otto doesn't want to wait much longer.
All right. All right, he might as well know Monica.
That's better. I'll fix myself a drink, fat boy. You just talk, huh?
We're expecting someone.
Well, that's fine. We can play canasta.
I'll tell him, Otto. A woman wants something from us. Some letters. She's going to pay...
I know it. That green stuff. Where was the pigeon supposed to figure?
Oh, I shouldn't have called you that. You really weren't going to have to do much.
Oh, tell him, Monica. Tell him. He seems like a nice guy. He might still help us.
We just don't want our caller to get a look at us, that's all.
Oh, that's all. You want me to meet your caller, hand over the letter, take the money?
Yes, that's it. Will you do it? We'll make it $100 since we've upset you so.
Oh, you haven't upset me, Otto. Not a bit, boy. Nice liquor, nice company. Monica here, I mean.
Then you'll do it, Mr...
Thorpe. Danny Thorpe.
I like that. It's cute.
So are you. So's he. Now, Otto, you can't be that worried over my indecision. It must be something else.
I don't know what you mean.
Oh, yes, you do. You're both afraid that this dame might pull something, that she'll show up with a .45, pay for her letters with bullets instead of dope. Well, now, who do you suppose that is? Your caller, maybe? Well, answer it, Otto. Don't be nervous.
No, please.
You don't think I'm going? Or this lovely little girl who worked so hard getting me up
Monica,
here?
Monica, please tell him to forget it.
Will I you... said answer it. Now, go on, move.
No, please.
Out of the way, Monica, out of sight. Go on, fat boy.
Look, Danny, why...
I said open the door. Rough games Otto plays. What excitable playmates.
Stop it. Can't you see? He's dead.
Yes, Otto is dead. You can see that at a glance, can't you, Danny? Quickly, you step over him. Look down the hall. It's deserted. Whoever shot Otto made a clean getaway. Then you turn, drag the dead man into the room, and close the door. Monica, a few feet away, stands motionless, staring at you.
Dan, wait. I didn't know this would happen.
Didn't you, sweetheart?
Please, you've got to believe me.
That could be me, baby, sprawled out there looking up at the ceiling. I ought to slam you all around this room.
Dan, don't I...
Mr. Belding.
We gotta get out of here. The whole apartment house will be on our necks. Come on, sister, snap out of it.
What?
I said let's go. There's a back way out of here, isn't there?
Yes.
You better call the police.
Come on, baby. Out, out. You're very quiet, sweetheart. Otto's still on your mind?
I'm not in the mood for conversation, sorry.
Okay.
Where can I drop you off?
Oh, the night's young.
Look, I'm not going to drive you around all night.
Oh, relax, relax. Don't let this thing get you.
It's just that I'm old-fashioned. I always get nervous when I'm mixed up in a murder.
Anybody know you were with Otto tonight?
No.
About you and Otto.
It was just a business deal, that's all.
Sure.
Anything else?
Should have picked a smarter boy. It was pretty stupid of Otto to set up that kind of a payoff. We won't make the same mistake, will we?
We?
We just formed a new partnership, didn't you know?
Dan, listen. I don't think I want to go on with
this. Oh, sure you do. You'll feel better after you have a drink. There's a place up ahead. I'll buy.
I thought you were broke.
Oh, no, not anymore, sweetheart. You owe me $50, remember? You in the mood for conversation now, Monica?
Yes. I guess so, Danny.
About this dame you had in the pressure cooker, who is she?
Mrs. Granger. Stanley Granger.
Of the Knob Hill Grangers?
Yes.
Husband Stanley is pretty well healed, isn't he?
That's why she married him, for his money. He knew that, but Granger was crazy about her and he didn't care.
What do you have on Miss Granger?
Nothing.
Oh, come on, come on.
It's the truth. We don't have a thing.
You mean all this was just a bluff? What made you think you could get by with it?
Before she was married, Mrs. Granger was a nightclub singer. She had a lot of friends. Otto knew that some of them were mixed up in the racket.
So you took a shot in the dark, figuring she might have something to hide, huh?
That's right.
She did have something to hide, didn't she? It's too bad Otto had to find it out the hard way.
Yes, it's too bad. Now what do we do?
We go right on with it. Only this time we're going to shake Miss Granger down for murder. Either she did it, her husband did it, or they hired someone to do it. We in business?
We're in business.
It's almost 2 a.m. when Monica drops you off at a fashionable hotel downtown, with a promise to call you later in the morning. The future looks bright, doesn't it, Danny? Yes. And for the first time in weeks, you enjoy a comfortable night's rest. It's almost noon of the following day when you wake up, have breakfast sent up to your room, and the morning paper. It's all there, isn't it? On the front page. The killing at apartment 502. You're not going to make the mistake Otto made, are you? No. You have it all planned, don't you? Know exactly what you're going to do. But first, you've got to be sure of Mrs. Granger, that you're dealing with the right person. That afternoon, you leave the hotel and slip into a phone booth.
The Granger residence?
Mrs. Granger, please.
Whom shall I say is calling?
Just tell her it's about apartment 502. She'll talk to me.
Apartment 502, sir?
Yeah. Go on, Junior.
Hello.
Mrs. Granger?
Yes?
Listen careful, sweetheart. I have some information to sell. It's about Otto Feeling and why he was knocked off. You can buy it for $10,000 or I'll hand it over to the DA for free. You follow me?
Yes.
Well, that's fine. I'll be out at the Blue Pelican Bar tonight. It's usually pretty crowded, so don't get any ideas. Be there at 9:00. Have the dough in a white envelope and carry it in your right hand.
It's done, isn't it, Danny? And you feel confident Mrs. Granger will keep her appointment with you. Now there are other arrangements to be made. And you stroll casually down to the produce district near the waterfront. Step into the large warehouse of Gus Dorelli and Company.
Hey, Gus.
Huh?
Oh, Danny, hiya.
Hi, what's DiMaggio batting these days?
335, not bad for an old man, huh?
Hey, Gus, can you do me a favor?
Look, if it's a dough...
No. You got a truck pulling out of here tonight?
Sure, Ernie's taking a 10-wheeler out.
How about a ride?
He's going north. Where you going?
By a stranger coincidence, north.
Okay, he's going out for a load of cabbage, Danny.
What?
Cabbage. And he's going out for a load of cabbage.
That's funny, Gus. I'll be carrying mine with me.
I don't get it. This a joke?
Could develop along those lines.
Gus stands there, shaking his head as you walk away. Everything is falling neatly into place, isn't it, Danny? The appointment with Mrs. Granger. And now your quiet exit out of town has been arranged. Yes, you're confident everything is going well. That is, until you return to your hotel. You're a little surprised when the clerk tells you there haven't been any phone calls for you. You look at your watch. It's after 5. Quickly, you cross the lobby, step into a phone booth, and call Monica's hotel.
I'm sorry, sir. There's no one registered here by that name.
Scott. Monica Scott.
I'm sorry, sir.
All right, never mind.
Something's wrong, Danny. Monica lied to you, didn't she? And you wonder what she's up to. Then as you're about to step out of the booth, something you see in the hotel entrance causes you to jump back. 2 uniformed policemen walk briskly across the lobby, stop for a moment at the desk, and then disappear into the elevator.
Hey, boy.
Yes, sir?
What's all the law for, do you know?
Oh, that? Yeah, the guy in 801 had too much to drink. The house stick couldn't handle him.
Oh.
Yeah, now he's going to have to tell it to the cops.
Drinking can become a horrible thing, son. Let that be a lesson to you.
Yeah. Huh?
You breathe a sigh of relief and smile as you step out into the street. You dismiss the incident and turn your thoughts back to Monica. You're puzzled why she lied to you. And then as you're about to cross the street, a car slides in along the curb.
Hello, Dan.
Well, I was beginning to think a lot of nasty things about you.
Get in.
Yeah. I called your hotel. They never heard of you.
No, of course not. I have an apartment on Jackson Street. Just a little hideaway. My very own.
Oh, that's fine.
Dan, I'm sorry. It's just that last night... Well, I wasn't sure I wanted to go on with this.
Now you are?
Yes. But I'm curious about our business deal, our partnership.
Oh, we got plenty of time to talk about that. How about some dinner?
Let's have it at my place.
Oh, that's what I had in mind.
All right. But I ought to warn you, I'm not much of a cook.
Neither was Cleopatra. Well, here you are, Monica. We're out of soda. Plain water okay?
Fine, just fine, Danny. Sit down.
Yeah. You know, it's pretty good stuff.
Nothing's too good for little Monica. And from now on, it'll be champagne. Hmm?
Sure.
I hate to bring up business again, Danny.
What's on your mind?
What?
I said, what's on your mind?
I was thinking about Mrs. Granger. You figured out a way? You said you would.
No, not yet, baby.
You haven't?
It takes time. I want to case this setup pretty well before I make a move.
I'm beginning to understand you, Danny.
That's good.
You know something? I'm getting awfully sleepy.
Have a hard day at the Mangle?
Maybe I need something to eat. Come on, help me fix dinner.
Oh, look, let's hold it off for a while yet, huh? I have to run out to meet a guy. I'm late now.
Oh, Danny.
Oh, I'll be back, sweetheart. This is very important.
Well, you hurry.
Sure. You'll stay right here and wait for Danny, huh?
I won't budge an inch.
Sergeant Regal.
Sergeant, write this down.
Huh?
1331B, Jackson Street, apartment 411. The dame who was with Otto Felding when he was knocked off last night is there now. Her name is Scott. Monica Scott.
Hey, wait a minute. Who is this?
You might have a little trouble waking her up, Sergeant. Some louse gave her a sleeping tablet. It just goes to show, pal, you can't trust anybody these days.
You congratulate yourself, don't you, Danny? As you sit in the Blue Pelican Bar waiting for Mrs. Granger. Yes, you've handled the whole affair with your usual finesse. Monica Scott is in the hands of the police now, and you're not sorry. You owed her that, didn't you, from the beginning? From the night she picked you up and took you to Otto Felding's apartment. You were going to be the fall guy, the pigeon. But it didn't turn out that way. Instead, you took over their blackmail scheme. Otto was then eliminated by Mrs. Granger or someone she'd hired. And now you're sure you've gotten Monica out of the way, too. And the blackmail money will be all yours. You're not worried in the least as you look up at the clock behind the bar. Note that Mrs. Granger is already half an hour late. Then a few minutes before 10, as you finish your third drink, someone sits down beside you.
Hello, Danny.
You know mine. What's yours?
Allow me.
Police department. So?
Waiting for Mrs. Granger?
Never heard of her.
And let me tell you about her. Mrs. Granger was being blackmailed. She had no money of her own, so her husband had to pay off a guy called Otto Felding. And he did, but with bullets.
So?
So you picked it up from there. Tried to go on shaking down Mrs. Granger.
Where'd you get that idea?
Too bad you didn't know that Mrs. Granger was a party to the blackmail setup. She and friend Otto thought it up to get some extra dough out of her husband.
What?
A girlfriend of yours told us the whole thing. Monica Scott. What? She also told us you'd be here, waiting for a payoff.
That's crazy. How would she...
How would she know? Simple. You told her when you made that appointment over the phone to Mrs. Granger. Get it? Mrs. Granger. Monica Scott. Same person.
Valley 103.1 FM.
No Time for Murder. The very intriguing story of a clock that chimed in with death. It was early evening, and Peter Woods, a young lawyer, had time to kill before his appointment with Hilda Ryan, his fiancée. So he took a walk along Madison Avenue, which was practically deserted. Then he stopped to window browse outside a bookshop. He was just getting interested in some of the titles when he was joined by a couple.
What are you stopping here for, Dixon?
Maybe I like books.
Maybe you don't. Maybe you're just stalling for time, huh?
Oh, Steve! Oh, let go of my arm. You are hurting me.
Am I? Then let's get moving.
No!
Now, you don't really mean that, do you, baby?
Steve!
Excuse me, mister. I don't like to break into a love scene.
Well, then don't, pal.
Take your hand off her.
Okay, Sir Galahad. Now, I'll give it to you.
Steve, don't! Mm. Oh, you knocked him out.
Huh?
With one punch.
Yeah. Maybe I'm stronger than I thought.
What is your name, honey?
Peter Woods.
Oh, Peter, darling. How can I thank you?
Now, look, Dixon.
If it had not been for you, I would have been...
You're just in time, officer. This girl was being molested.
Yeah, by whom?
That man down...
What man down where, buddy?
Why, he's disappeared. He was just lying there, officer.
Let me smell your breath.
I'm not drunk. Ask this lady. She'll tell you what happened.
You bet I will. Officer, this man, Peter Woods, he tried to kill me.
You hear that? And if I hadn't stepped in, why... What? What did you say?
You tried to kill me. And all because...
Yeah, now, lady, dear. Now, we've got a place for men like you.
Now, wait a minute. This girl's framing me.
Yeah? Well, tell it to the judge. He's a great one for fairy tales.
The accused, Peter Woods, having been charged by the complainant, Dixie Martell, with felonious assault, with intent to kill, is remanded for questioning by the grand jury of this county. Bail is hereby set at $1,000.
Hello, Hilda Ryan speaking. And if it's you, Peter Woods...
It's me, Peter Woods.
Don't you dare say another word.
I'm sorry, Hilda.
You had an appointment to meet me here in my apartment at 7 o'clock. You were going to take me out to dinner and to the theater for the first time in 6 months.
I know, dear.
It's 11 o'clock now. Well?
I got tied up, honey.
Why didn't you call me?
I'm in the district attorney's office.
Hmm?
I'd rather be with you, darling.
Of course. Well, as long as you're working on a case.
Yes, honey, and it's all mine.
Well, I should hope so. You know what I think of lawyers who split fees.
You don't understand, dear. I'm the defendant, too.
You?
I'm being held for the grand jury.
Good heavens, what have you done?
Nothing.
Oh, no.
I mean it. I never saw that girl before in my life.
What girl?
Dixie Martell. I was walking along Madison Avenue, and she and a fellow by the name
of... What did she say you did to her?
Assault.
What?
With intent to kill. But she's out of her mind.
Why?
She told the judge in night court that I tried to pick her up. All right, dear. You're against me, too. I guess I'll be better off in jail.
Jail?
Well, that's where they're going to take me now. And if a jury believes that girl, I'll go to Sing Sing for 5 years. And I'll be disbarred.
Oh, Pete.
Feel sorry for me now?
Oh, I'm just a big dope.
Darling, if you could come down to the DA's office and bring $1,000...
Bring a what?
My bail money. Otherwise, I'll have to stay in jail until the grand jury gets around to me.
But where am I going to get $1,000 now?
How about your relatives?
I've been lending them money.
Oh. Well, can you get it here by morning?
That means I'll have to go to the bank.
Hilda, I love you.
Oh, my trousseau money.
You'll get it back. And we'll be married right after the jury says not guilty.
Yes. And it better say not guilty, or I'll see that you get life. Pete, if your girlfriend were home...
She's not my girlfriend, Hilda.
Well, all right, then. If Dixie Martell were in her apartment, she'd have opened that door long ago.
Don't think I haven't thought of it.
Then why do you keep buzzing?
Hope springs eternal.
Well, come on, we'll get some lunch and then come back. Maybe by that time...
I'm not giving up the watch, darling.
But we could be eating.
I'm going to be here when Dixie comes home, and she's going to tell me why she cooked up that...
Pete.
Take it easy, Hilda. It's not the mysterious traveler.
But the door...
I leaned against it.
Then it wasn't locked.
How did you figure that out, darling?
Well, you said... Listen to me, Peter Woods. The next time you get into trouble, get somebody else to put up bail for you.
All right. Find me another girl with trousseau money.
Pete.
Have you got one?
Are you going in there?
Of course.
But I...
We came here to see Dixie. Does that mean we've got to stand in the hall till she gets here?
I know, dear, but...
We can be sitting down. Look, comfortable chairs. And a sofa.
Pete, isn't there a law in this state against... unlawful entry?
In a lot of states, Hilda.
Then why take chances of being arrested again? Aren't you in enough trouble?
Hmm?
How many grand juries do you want to face?
You're right, sweetheart. Let's go back to the hall. Well, come on, will you? Before Dixie barges in. What's the matter with you?
Look. Behind the open door.
Don't tell me. It. Good grief.
Is that Dixie Martell?
It was, Hilda.
Oh, Pete.
Now it's just her mortal remains.
Well, Pete?
Yeah, she was strangled, Hilda.
Oh, took you a long time to find out.
I was looking for a bullet wound or a knife wound, you know.
I'd rather not.
Then I noticed the marks on her throat. I thought there'd be fingerprint impressions, but there weren't.
Oh.
Whoever killed her must have worn gloves or used a... What's the matter, Hilda? Don't you feel well?
I couldn't feel worse.
Come on, let's get over to the window.
That won't do any good.
Fresh air.
Let's get out of here, Pete.
I can't.
You're not hypnotized, are you?
I can't run away from it, Hilda.
What are you talking about?
Murder.
Hmm?
Dixie's murder. The police will say I did it.
Oh, now.
Don't kid yourself, honey. They say it. And I'll have the devil's own time proving I didn't.
But what about me? Don't you think I'll have something to say?
Yeah.
After all, it isn't as if you found Dixie dead and then told me about it.
Yeah.
I was with you, and I've been with you all morning.
That's the trouble, darling.
What?
You posted bail for me.
Now, what in the world does that mean?
You've got a special interest in me, and when we tell the police and the district attorney that we're engaged to be married...
Oh.
Understand?
They'll say I'm prejudiced in your favor, and therefore... Oh, but Pete, what are we going to do?
There's only one thing, Hilda.
Yes?
I'm a lawyer, an officer of the court, and I'm not supposed to do it.
Hmm?
I'm not supposed to conceal a crime.
Uh-huh.
As a matter of fact, no citizen should conceal a crime from the police. But in this case...
Thanks for coming out of the wherefores.
What?
Let's have the to-wit.
I don't follow you, Hilda.
Don't try. You just got lost in your legal training.
Well, as I was saying, in this case...
You're not going to tell the police about Dixie Martell.
That's right.
But, Pete, we can't just leave her here.
We'll have to, honey, until I find out who killed her.
Very, very interesting.
Oh, hello, Steve.
So you're a lawyer, huh? Hmm. What law school did you go to?
Not the one you're going to, Steve.
Oh, I've been there. And I learned the value of a closed door.
Pete.
It's too late, Hilda. The horse is in.
Let's take a look at that eye, Steve.
From where you're standing,
Don't
Phil.
Don't be afraid. I won't hurt your gun.
Pete, is that the man you told me about?
Yeah, the guy who threatened Dixie and got clipped.
Nice shade of blue I'm wearing this season, huh?
Why did you come here, Steve?
Why?
I mean, at this particular time.
I get impulses, baby.
Like the one that strangled Dixie?
Huh?
Don't try to laugh it off, Steve. She tried to get away from you last night.
You don't say.
Are you denying it? You killed her, Steve. And before you left the building, you saw Hilda and me coming in, so you hung around.
Just to nab you with the goods, huh?
Why did you kill her?
Listen, pal, would your name be Peter Wood?
Never mind changing the subject.
That's what I thought. Yeah, I knew I saw that face someplace.
Madison Avenue.
Magistrate's Court last night. Say, is it true what Dixie said about you?
Okay, Steve, play dumb.
Now, she was a friend of mine, Pete, and now look at her behind the door. Oh, well, we'll have to tell the police about this, Petey boy.
Get away from that phone.
Don't be ridiculous. It's a public utility.
I'm with you, Steve.
Oh, you dumb cluck.
No, you dumb cluck. A lady screams and you turn around. Gentleman Steve.
I'll break you in half.
Swing him around this way, Pete. I'll hit him with this flower pot.
All right, Hilda.
It's not all right. Can't you two stop dancing for a minute?
I'll kill you, Woods. No, Hilda.
No! There, that does it.
Thanks, you fatal charmer.
Pete. Oh, Pete, darling. I got the wrong man.
Look.
Pete.
All right, Hilda. Now.
Pete, will you ever forgive me?
Now, Hilda.
It's all over, darling. I hit you by mistake.
Ah, dumb cluck. A lady screams. What did you say?
I was all set to hit him, Pete, and then he swung you around and
my aching head.
Is there something you'd like me to do?
Yes, but not now. Where's Steve?
He left with his gun.
Didn't he phone the police?
No.
Uh-huh. So he was bluffing. Help me up.
Sit there for a minute. I've got something I'd like you to see.
Hilda.
This piece of paper.
What is it?
Read it.
All right, if I can see straight. Repair ticket for a clock. So?
Well, when I hit you on the head with the flower pot, the pot broke and this ticket fell out.
Carl Andrews, jewelry sold, clocks repaired, 980 East 69th Street.
That should be on the next block, Pete.
Now, why should Dixie bury a repair ticket for an ordinary clock?
Maybe it isn't an ordinary clock.
Uh-huh. Help me up, sweetheart. I think I've seen everything. Good afternoon. Can I help you?
Are you Mr. Carl Andrews?
I have been for 56 years. Now, what can I do for you?
Oh, we have a ticket for a clock that was left here by Dixie Martell.
Miss Dixie Martell. Oh, yes, yes. May I have the ticket, please?
Huh?
Thank you, sir. Let me see. Where did I put that clock? Oh, yes, yes, yes. I remember. Here it is. Shall I wrap it up?
Let's see it first.
Oh, of course.
Why, Pete, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, what would Dixie be doing with
it? You never can tell, Hilda. Maybe she used it to tell time.
But a thing like that...
It's a real antique, ma'am.
Well, that's what I mean, Mr. Andrews.
And very expensive. A collector's item, if you don't mind my saying so.
Oh, we don't mind.
Then perhaps you won't mind if I ask you a question.
Hmm?
I am responsible for this clock, and, well, you are strangers to me. Of course, you brought in the ticket, but...
You want to know how we got it?
Yes. Please don't be offended.
We're not. A straight question calls for a straight answer.
Thank you so much.
We got it from Dixie.
Miss Martell to you.
Naturally.
She had to go away, a long vacation.
The poor girl. I told her she was working too hard. I guess being a nightclub dancer is a very difficult profession.
It keeps the girl on her toes, Mr. Andrews.
Of course, I do hate to lose a good customer, but what is best for her is... Well, you understand.
Perfectly.
Will she be coming back someday?
I don't think so. Her plans were very definite.
Oh, that is too bad. Well, if you should see her employer, tell him I'm sorry he's lost such a good performer.
Do you know her employer, too?
Oh, indeed I do. Mr. Jackson is one of my best customers. He owns the Pelican Club on West 49th Street, you know. And the clocks there
are never on time.
I see you know, Mr. Jackson. Are you sure you wouldn't like me to wrap the clock for you?
Sure. Oh,
well, then, if you'll excuse me, I'll go back to my work. People get so angry when their clocks are not ready on time. A good day.
Same to you. Now, there's a sweet old man.
Uh-huh.
Pete, the next time we have a clock that needs fixing or some jewelry that needs buying...
I'll keep it in mind. Hilda, didn't you notice something queer about that sweet old man?
Queer?
He didn't ask me to pay him.
Pay him for what?
The work he did on the clock.
Oh. Well, maybe Dixie did that before. You know, in advance.
Boy, how you women stick together. Come on, let's get a cab.
Pete, are you crazy?
You'll find out.
This isn't utopia. Cab rides cost money.
Take a look at the back of this clock.
A metal plaque.
Read it.
From the collection of S. Parker Jackson. Well, all right, Mr. Andrews said...
Don't you get it, honey? S. Parker Jackson.
Excuse me, dear. This is my dumb afternoon.
S. Parker Jackson might be the fancy moniker for a guy named Steve.
Oh. Oh!
Don't explode, darling. I need you. Oh, this darn traffic. It'll take us a year to get there.
Oh, well.
Hilda, for Jiminy's sake, will you stop playing with that clock?
I'm only trying to wind it, Pete.
Only trying? You've been turning that gimmick for 10 minutes. You must have broken the spring.
Well, we'll find out.
See? Hey, take it easy. That thing's an antique. You'll shake the guts out of it.
I've shaken something out of it.
A drawer.
In the base of the clock. Pete, look what's in it.
Let me see.
Stuck with glue or something.
Hilda, I love you.
Hmm?
These are diamonds.
What? Those four pieces of glass?
Uncut diamonds. I'll bet this drawer wasn't in the clock when Steve Jackson bought it.
Pete, do you know what you're talking about?
I've got an idea. Those robberies in the Diamond Center for the past year.
Oh, no.
You've read about them, haven't you?
Yes.
All right, dear, you're getting off at the next corner.
Oh, now, Pete.
No arguments, honey. I've got plans.
And I've got $1,000 wrapped up in you. Hard-earned money.
Do this for me and I'll owe you my life.
Would you go to the Pelican Club without me?
Yes, dear. But you'll be there, too. In spirit.
And it is his coincidence.
Hello, Mr. Jackson.
Huh? Well, Pete. Well, if it is my old friend. Come in. How's your head?
S. Parker Jackson.
Yeah, I come from good stock. Bottle and bond.
Yeah.
How'd you get in here?
I walked. That's quite an office you've got.
I like comfort.
And those clocks on the wall. Some collection. Mind if I look at them?
Who told you about this place?
A clock that Dixie had given to Mr. Carl Andrews for repair.
Andrews? Ooh, Andrews. He does all my repair work.
Yes, so he says.
Where is that clock?
How much is it worth to you?
Let's say your life.
Ooh, you talk big.
Where's that clock, Pete?
Now, look, Steve, I'm a lawyer. I get paid for asking questions.
You'll get paid off if you...
Yeah?
Okay, name your price.
What does that clock mean so much to you?
It's valuable. It's the only one of its kind in the world.
A portable diamond mine, hmm?
What'd you say?
I'm giving the answers now, Steve. All those clocks on the walls, those rare antique clocks, are loaded with diamonds that were stolen from the Diamond Center.
That crack you got on the skull went right through the brain, didn't it?
Right through with a ticket. Now let's have it, Mr. S. Parker Jackson. You killed Dixie Martell because she stole one of your clocks with diamonds in it.
Killed Dixie Martell?
Remember that body behind the door?
There's a hospital a few blocks from here. You better go there right away. Killed Dixie Martell?
Well, that's very funny, isn't it?
Well, it's a riot. A body behind the door. You've been seeing things, pal.
Now, wait a minute.
Dixie, a corpse. When she hears about this... Come on, I want you to tell her.
What?
Dixie Martell. She's upstairs rehearsing a new number.
You mean that she's here in this club?
Yeah, all here.
But, well then, who was the dead girl in her apartment?
Dead girl? spot dead girl. Rehearsal room, Pete. Last stop.
Ah. So that's Dixie, huh?
Always was, pal. I'll introduce you to it. Cut it, baby.
Yes, sir. Hold it, sir. Hi, Steve. Like the new routine?
Yeah. Dixie, I want you to meet Peter Woods.
How? From Hollywood?
Nah, from Hunger. He's a lawyer.
Oh. Well, he's a friend of yours.
Now, listen, miss, what's your name?
It's Dixie Martell, honey.
Yeah? Since when?
Say, what is this, Steve? A census taker?
A jerk, baby. Thinks you're a corpse.
What? A what?
You know, what people say nice things about.
You're misrepresenting, Steve. She's not the girl we saw.
She's Dixie Martell, Pete.
But she's not the... And you know it.
Don't you tell me who I am.
All right, I won't, but I'll tell you what you are.
Yeah? Go ahead.
You're a...
Waiting, mister.
You're a...
Well?
What's the difference? You're not Dixie Martell.
Get him out of here, Steve. Get him out before I wrap him up for burial.
Funny scene. Quite a funny scene.
So, John's the matter with you, huh? I've got work to do. New routine that's got to be ready by tonight.
Well, then work. Let's go, Pete.
Yeah. Well, goodbye, miss. What's your name?
Oh, go feed yourself to the squirrels.
Some number, huh?
Yeah, that's what I've been thinking. Let's go down to your office, Steve. Maybe I'll find a number for you, too.
And, you hear, Pete, some of the publicity we've sent out on Dixie. We're breaking tonight's papers.
With or without pictures?
With. Here's a couple of the pictures.
Oh. Steve, either you're a guy with plenty of gall, or you're just plain...
You're getting weaker, pal.
These are pictures of the girl upstairs.
Dixie Martell.
What's the gag? Who do you think you're going to kid with a stunt?
Oh, you're getting tough again.
Now, look, Steve, I'm not crazy, and neither is Hilda. There was a dead girl in that apartment. We all saw her. You were going to phone the police.
Was I?
That girl was Dixie Martell, and the girl upstairs...
Oh. Oh. Excuse me, pal. Yeah? Come on.
Oh, so you're still talking.
Who, me? What is this?
Don't tell me you don't know. Or aren't the dead supposed to be heard?
What?
Yes. You recognize the voice now, don't you? Dixie Martell.
No.
How does it feel listening to a ghost?
I'll let you know.
You thought I was dead, didn't you? You were so sure. The guy who does such a perfect job on everything.
Wait a minute, sweetheart. So you're mad, okay, but...
You tried to kill me. And why? Just because I swiped one of your lousy clocks with diamonds in it. Was that a reason for murder?
Oh, that's a big question, honey. I can't answer it now.
That's all right with me, Steve. You're through.
Women trouble, Steve?
Sort of.
Well, then you have too many.
It was your girl, Pete.
Huh?
Hilda. You put her up to it, didn't you?
Now, chum, if I knew what you were talking about...
She makes a very bad ghost, chum.
Oh, that?
Yeah.
Don't reach for that gun, Steve. I've got one right here in my pocket.
Is that fact or fiction?
Don't try to find out.
Once a lawyer, always a lawyer.
What does that mean?
How much?
For you, 2,000 volts.
How about 50,000 bucks for you?
In cash?
In cash.
All right, Steve. Get on that phone and call the police.
No dice, huh?
The police, pal.
Okay. What do I tell them?
About diamonds and Dixie and death.
You're really nuts.
Squirrel food. And while you're dialing the operator, you can tell me all about that girl upstairs you had posing as Dixie Martell.
Oh, you mean Mona.
Mona. A not-so-delectable slice of ham.
Oh, you're wrong, pal. She's very delectable. Very delectable. Nice work, Mona. Your timing was perfect.
Oh, thanks for leaving the door open, Steve.
Hey, everybody wants to get in the act. But you, baby, you belong.
Well, what do we do with him?
Leave him there. Come on, help me get the clock down from the wall.
Clock? But, Steve, we...
Come on, honey, time marches on. We've got to keep in step.
Pete.
Now, Hilda, All right, Hilda, now...
I didn't do it, Pete. You can't blame me for everything that happens to you. Now, get up.
Get up. Club. Hilda.
How do you do?
What happened to me?
That's what I'd like to know.
How did I get down... Oh, yeah. Somebody hit me on the head.
Who?
I don't know. Steve was standing over there. I had him covered with a gun I didn't have in my pocket.
A gun you didn't have?
I took a chance and he fell for it. Then he... I know.
Oh, now we'll get someplace.
It was Mona. It must have been Mona.
Who's Mona?
That girl in the rehearsal room who pretended to be... Hey, the clocks. What happened to the clocks?
Huh?
The clocks were in this room. The walls were covered with them.
Pete, you poor darling, you're delirious. Two hits on the head in one day.
They're gone, Steve. Mona, clocks and diamonds. Beat it.
Are you toying to me?
No. The clocks that were full of diamonds and those two killers.
Oh, dear. You mean I was Dixie's ghost for nothing?
Hilda, don't you realize the evidence is gone? And sooner or later, somebody will find Dixie's body in her apartment. The police will start asking me a lot of questions. What'll I tell them?
Oh, excuse me?
Oh, hello.
I'm looking for Mr. S. Parker Jackson. I have... Oh, haven't I seen you two before someplace?
Of course you have. We were the two folks who... You remember, Dixie Martell's clock?
Oh, yes. You will pardon my bad memory, I hope. How are you?
Oh, so-so.
Oh, that's too bad. And you, young lady?
Fine, Mr. Andrews. And you?
Oh, I can't complain. Are you waiting for Mr. Jackson?
Oh, isn't it? Is that a clock you've got in that package?
Yes, Mr. Jackson wanted me to repair it. A great rush. I had to promise to have it here exactly at this time. And now, will he be here soon?
Maybe, if we can reach him.
He hasn't gone away, has he?
Well, after a fashion. But you can leave the clock.
Leave it?
With me. I'll see that it gets into the right hand.
Oh, I am sorry I cannot do that.
Why not?
Mr. Jackson is very particular about his clock.
But you aren't.
What?
The one you repaired for Dixie was a very bad job.
Why, Pete, that's right. It didn't go.
Took you a long time to remember that, Hilda.
How about you?
Took me a long time, too. Now, Mr. Andrews...
I am afraid I don't quite understand what you young people are talking about.
Well, then let me put it this way. That clock you've got wrapped up has got a drawer in it.
I did not notice.
A drawer you put in it. That's the kind of repair work that you've been doing for Steve Jackson.
I... Young man.
Shall we check?
Leave this package alone.
We're checking, Mr. Andrews.
I said, leave it alone. Oh!
Please!
Oh, I'm sorry I did not mean to hurt you.
Well, the old guy's got a grip like a pair of handcuffs.
I'll come back later when Mr. Jackson...
Just a minute.
Now, don't stop me, young fellow.
You won't take me by surprise again. You never knew what was going into those clocks, did you?
I want you to get out of my way.
But when Dixie Martell brought a clock to you, not for repair, but for safekeeping, you looked in the drawer. You saw the diamonds.
I am warning you, young man.
You took them. That is, you thought you took all of them. Then you went to her apartment this morning and strangled her.
I am not going to warn you again.
It's no use, Mr. Andrews. Please. I can wrestle, too. You strangled her.
No,
just to make sure you could keep the diamonds. That wasn't nice, Mr. Andrews.
No.
That was murder. Oh, a hot dog, a bottle of pop, and thou.
I just can't get over it, Pete. Mr. Andrews.
He did it. The police found the diamonds in the back of his store.
Greed, greed, greed.
Once is too much, Hilda.
What people won't do for money.
Well, if they wouldn't do it, it'd be all right, but the trouble is they do. You can't beat it, honey. Ask Mr. Andrews. And when you get through asking him, you can ask Steve and Mona.
You think they'll get 20 years?
Maybe 30. But if I were the judge...
Someday, darling.
Yeah. Come on, let's get some peanuts.
Pete, what made you suspect Mr. Andrews?
I was alive.
What?
And I wouldn't have been if Steve were a killer.
Oh, you mean...
That's right. I knew too much about his business. But he didn't kill me. And so, when Andrews came in...
Make it simple, dear.
I took a chance, that's all, and it worked. Well, where can I get peanuts around here?
Are you going to eat them?
Why not? Squirrels do. Are we any better? We're not even as smart.
Flown. I have sailed. I have moved about this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
The door is slowly closing for Radio Masterpieces, but be sure and tune in again next week from 9 to 10 p.m. to listen to more wonderful mysteries from the 1940s and 50s. This is Bruce Kaplan signing off. Radio Masterpieces is a Seattle Miracle Incorporated production.